verse number 11 in a minute. Down to verse number 15. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The word peculiar means belonging to someone else. A lost world should see that we belong to someone else. And if that's something that you don't enjoy hearing, then there's something wrong with your heart. We watched in Mexico this past week as the Catholics came in, as was testified on Thursday during their Kino days. And they came, and thousands upon thousands of people came to this town where the Harrises are to find forgiveness. They would find forgiveness by lining up and walking through this annex of the Catholic Church. And in it lies this statue of Father Kino. And they would walk up to this statue, and they would begin to kiss this statue, starting at the statue's toe, and work all the way up to the statue's forehead. When they got to the statue's forehead, they would then reach down and try to pick up the statue, which was laying flat on the cement slab. If they were able to lift this statue up, their sins were forgiven. If they were not able to raise this statue up, then their sins were not forgiven. I don't know how they don't realize it, but those who did pick it up, there's a chain connected to the back of the statue, which goes into this cement slab. There, behind this one-way glass, is a priest who's watching to see how penitent the person is, who either allows the chain to scroll up where they can lift it up, or holds the chain fast so the statue can't be picked up. As I said on Thursday, I asked Brother Harris, I said, "Well, what happens if they can't lift the statue? Then their sins aren't forgiven. And they leave that place with the attitude, as I might as well do what I want to do. I'm going to suffer anyways." And they go out and they drink and they party and they do whatever they want to do. Those whose sins are forgiven, and I use that in quotes because that's not the way of forgiveness. But those who are able to lift the statue feel such a relief. And then they go out because their sins are forgiven, and they drink and they party and they do whatever they want to do. And the whole town becomes a center of partying and drugs and alcohol. For those whose sins were forgiven, now the slate's wiped clean. For those who weren't, then they might as well continue on their way. And that's really sad. That ought to break your heart today as a Christian. As I said on Thursday night, the only thing worse than no hope is a false hope. Thinking that you're okay when you're not. But as I sat there and I watched that for quite a while this week. I took one trip through that little annex just to show the young people that were with me what was going on. But I sat out there in the plaza as they would exit, and some so relieved that their sins were forgiven. Some weeping in joy. But they all went out and just did what they wanted to do. Literally went straight from there, two blocks down, to get their alcohol and their drinks, or took a left and walked down by the river and began their partying. And we look at that and say, wow, that's really, really sad. But I sat there on a bench and I watched that last week and I thought, you know, sometimes we're not much different. We sit in our church buildings, we go to church, and then we think because we do the church thing that everything else is just going to be okay. That's not found in scriptures. You and I should be, if we're saved, a peculiar people.
Yes.
It means our life should be different. I love a quote, and I think I shared it last Sunday. Pastor Fugit down in Lexington shared this a couple weeks ago. He said, quote, "My standards and personal convictions are not for an expression or display to others of my faith in Christ. They are an expression of my love for Him."
Yes.
And I thought that was excellent. You and I ought to be a peculiar people, not because we're trying to show off in any way. Because even our righteous works are filthy rags before God. But we ought to live a peculiar life because we love Him. And someone who is truly saved and not concerned for holiness does not understand the love of God.
That's right.
Or they're lying about being saved. I'll say that again. Someone who says they're saved and they're not concerned for holiness either does not understand the love of God or they're lying about being saved. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is written to churches, and it talks about these churches that had lost their love. These churches that had become very lukewarm. These churches that had allowed sin into their churches. It was running rampant, if you read Revelation 2 and 3, things that they were filthy. Doctrine was thrown out the window. They had no doctrine, and the Lord sent them warnings and said, repent, repent, repent. Because He loved them. I look today at the typical church today, and I think the message is still the same. A lot of churches have lost their love for the Lord and for people like they should. A lot of churches have replaced a zeal for the Lord for a zeal for entertainment. A lot of churches are filled with lukewarm Christians. No convictions. No loyalty. No steadfastness. People look for a chance and an opportunity to get out of church, like kids getting out of school. Whatever excuse I can find. You know, I've been there, right? When I was a kid, I used to hold the thermometer up close to a light bulb. I knew how to do that. I made a mistake one time. I stuck the thermometer in my mom's coffee. I had a temperature of 178. It was bad. I got caught that time, right? You know, a lot of times we treat church the same way. I got a sniffle. I better not go. Something's going on. Church ought to be really important to the child of God. The typical church today, sin fills the pews just as it did the church at Corinth. And just like the people at Corinth, we kind of brag about it. I mean, how many churches do you know that love proclaiming, come as you are? And I say the same thing. I don't care how people come, I just want you to come. But I will follow that statement with this. If you're getting what you should get at church, you won't leave like you were. Things will begin to change in your life. I don't want to follow suit with what is typical. The typical church is so worried about losing people that they're afraid to tell the truth. Let's get down to the bottom line. They're afraid of losing people because they're not busy adding people. When we're not a soul-winning church and we're not burdened about souls, then we start getting really concerned when people leave And I get concerned too when people leave. But if it's over the truth, so be it. I don't like it. I don't want it. But the Word of God says this: they went out from us because they were not of, like us. They were not of us. And sometimes, especially in these last days, people do not want sound doctrine. People do not want the truth. Today's modern church has become more about keeping the member than rescuing the lost. And I don't want to follow suit. I look at you today, telling you fact, I'm no better than anyone. And this church is no better than any church. Every church is made up of imperfect people. If you're looking for a perfect church, it doesn't exist. Until we get to heaven. Any other church today is not my concern. Any other church out there is not my focus. Any other church today is not my standard. Because Adel Baptist Temple is my church. It is my focus. And this book is my standard. Yeah. Let's have a word of prayer, then we're going to read our text this morning. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd please take the message. I pray you'd use it for your honor and glory. I know it's the message you laid on my heart. It is an intimidating message. I pray you'd help me. I yield myself to you this morning. Lord, my tongue is yours. My thoughts are yours. Myself, I want to be totally in your hands. Father, to the best of my knowledge, I have no unconfessed sin in my life. If I do, Lord, I want you to bring it to my thoughts. I want to be a clean vessel. Lord, my burden that you've laid on me is, Lord, for us as a church, that we would be a peculiar people. Because that's what you want. Please show us this today. May my words be wrapped in love. May the Spirit of God work freely. Help us to be still and to listen to that still small voice today. Keep a hedge about us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, let's stand and read our text in Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11, if you're visiting today, it's so wonderful to have you. I'm honored to have you at church today. This is a different type of message, but I believe we'll see it's in the Word of God, and that's all that matters. Titus 2 and verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. See, why would you preach this message today? Because God laid it on my heart. Because it is found in the Scriptures. And I have in verse number 15 God's authority to speak, to exhort, and to rebuke with these words. Let no man despise thee. Let's be seated and look at this passage of Scripture today. We need to be a peculiar people. That means it ought to be known and evident that we belong to somebody else, that we're not our own, that we are the Lord's. Peculiar means not like everything else, not like the ordinary. Peculiar means it stands out a little bit. It catches the eye. There's something different about it. And we today ought to be that kind of people. We are there again in Peter, a royal priesthood, the Bible says, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we would show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So what is it to be peculiar? What would be different? What would make us different? Look at the text, just a couple thoughts in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I am thankful for salvation this morning. I'm thankful for the grace of God that has appeared to all men. I am thankful that for Jesus Christ, who shined that light upon us and called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I'm thankful that the call of salvation appears to all men. That doesn't mean that all men have received it, but all men are welcome to receive it today. But the fact is this, what would make a peculiar people? What would make us a peculiar church? And I think one of the first things we have to start at is with this, that everything out there that calls itself a church, for far too many, there are way too many lost members sitting in those churches today. People who have heard the truth but have not accepted the truth. People who are there at church for some reason other than the fact that they are born again believers. See, what other reason would people come to church? I think one, for conscience sake. Some people come just trying to ease their conscience. Just like those who walk through that annex down there in Mexico to ease their conscience. There are people that come and sit in our independent Baptist churches, right? That come and they sit in the pews for one reason, to make themselves feel a little bit better for some of the things they know they're doing. That they think in some way they're earning some favor with God by sitting in a church house. That they think for some reason that sitting here kind of omits all the other things that they're doing with their life. Coming to church will not send you to heaven. Coming to church does not forgive your sins. Coming to church does not make you clean in the eyes of God. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. There must be a personal time in your life when you personally decided to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you realize that I am a sinner, I am unworthy of heaven, I am unworthy of the Lord, but God sent His Son Jesus to die for my sins, and I choose today to accept Jesus Christ as my sins. I turn from my sin and trust in Him as my Savior. That ought to be the reason why you're at church today. Because He's your Lord. He's your Master. But some people come to church for conscience sake. It just makes them feel better. Some people come to church for family sake. Some people come to church because they don't want to hear it from mom and dad if they don't. Some people come to church because maybe a spouse wants them to come. And I, while praise the Lord, glad they come, right? Amen for that. But I'm just being honest today. There's some people that come to church that if certain family members were no longer on this earth, they'd quit church. So how do you know? I've seen it. So have you. Some people come to church because they know grandma's going to ask if they went today. Some people come to church because they know their aunt's going to be here. While I, whatever it takes to get you in church, praise the Lord. But if that's the only reason you're coming, you'll quit. You'll quit eventually. If that's the only reason you're coming, you're going to find out you're missing the point. Some people come for problem's sake. Some people come because they got in trouble. I mean, I set the Claremont County Jail, the glass in front of me, and looked through that and talked on the telephone to the person on the other side. Preacher, when I get out of here, I'm coming to church. And I hope they do. And I hope they mean it. Then they'll go in front of a judge. I'm going to be in church. Or they first, we've all seen this, right? They get busted for something, then they got this court date coming up, and all of a sudden they're faithful to church. I've been there. I've gone to court and testified. Yes, judge, the last 6 months this person has been in church. Probation. Then they quit coming. Don't use church. Some people come for selfish reasons. They like being entertained. It's a social event. You know, what am I getting out of it? There's been people, unfortunately, I've seen come to church for one reason. Because they know the good girls go to church. Trying to find them a good girl. Well, you good girls, beware of those kind of boys. I know people that have been at our church, have visited. We're not really wanting to come back. We don't like, you know, your music's not entertaining. You don't have enough events. Church is not about entertainment. And if you come to church for one of those reasons, selfishly, what can I get out of it? Some start coming to church. You know, we've had a school now for 21, 22 years. Some people start coming to church because they want their kids in the school. But as soon as the kid heads the wrong direction with their life, which inevitably usually happens when that's the only reason you're hanging around because Adele, then they quit coming. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why are you here?
Thank you, Lord.
Why are you here? If you're here for any other reason other than the fact that this is where God wants me, and I love Him, and I want to learn about Him, and grow, and share about Him, I'm glad you're here and I want you to keep coming. But my point is this, wake up. Because just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean your sins are forgiven. Ye must be born again. There are all kinds of things out there with the title church, and all kinds of people are sitting in it thinking they're okay because they go to church. I mean, how many churches are out there? We use that term so loosely. How many churches? There's churches everywhere. Every kind of flavor you want. But look at me. Only one is peculiar. I'm not talking about one church, right? But one kind. A New Testament, God-fearing church is peculiar. Praise the Lord, there's some great churches in the Cincinnati area. But they ought to stand out as being different. I didn't say better. I didn't say you ought to be prideful. I'm saying this, that God said it, not me. That you ought to be a peculiar people. That people see certain churches and say, there's something different about them. Something different there. Because you're trying to serve God. A peculiar church will not be full of lost members. A peculiar church will be there. People will be there because they want to learn. They love the Lord. A peculiar church will not be full of lustful members. Look in verse number 12 in our text. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Did you know, my friends, that you can live godly in this present world? I know the world is wicked. I know everything that's out there. But you can live a godly life in this world. And the Bible says here, denying ungodly and worldly lust. If you are going to be a peculiar people, if we are going to be a peculiar church, and I'll just tell you, I want us to be a peculiar church. For only one reason. Because God's people are peculiar. That's the only reason. Because we ought to be peculiar. And I say it out of love today. Just as Paul wrote to the church, I have espoused you to Christ, he said, and that you might present yourself spotless, holy. It ought to be our desire as a church to be ready and presented before the Lord someday as pure and holy as we possibly could be. That requires us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Put something there. Just look at this. What is that talking about? Worldly lust. Look in Romans chapter 13. Just read some verses with me real quick. But please look in Romans chapter 13 and in verse number 12. Romans 13 verse number 12 says this. Now follow along with me real quick. Romans 13 and verse number 12. Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You and I as Christians ought to walk in the light. You and I as Christians ought to walk honestly. You and I as Christians ought to walk denying ourselves. You and I ought to walk and not fulfilling our lust. Now, this verse of Scripture describes some of that. That's walking honestly. That's not lying. You and I ought to be people of our word. You and I ought to be honest people. We ought to not lie. We ought to not be, walk honestly, not in rioting. Our life ought to not be about partying, causing issues. The word rioting means going through the streets and doing whatever. It says there, not drunkenness. You and I as Christians ought to be peculiar people. As members of this church, you ought to have no part in alcohol. The word chambering means going from bed to bed. Sleeping around. Wantonness. That's just living filthy. Perversion. Pornographies. Strife. Arguing. Fighting. Which, by the way, parents, some of your teenagers need to shut their mouth. Envying. Jealous of one another. You and I ought to be staying away from these lusts. Those things are not to be part of our life. Look over in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, just a few pages to the right. In Galatians chapter number 5, and in verse number 16. Galatians 5 and verse number 16. I read this to our teenagers on Friday. Galatians 5 and verse number 16 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot walk in the flesh and in the spirit. You can't do both at the same time. You know what that means? You cannot go and do some of these things and be walking in the spirit. You can't do it. They are contrary. And by the way, the spirit only leads us in truth. That's why you can't feel comfortable sitting in a church that preaches false doctrine. And don't say you're spiritual because you're not. You're carnal. It says in this verse, keep reading, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So here's how you know when you're walking in the flesh. Adultery. And that's not just committing an act. The Lord said when you're looking at someone and think filthy thoughts. Fornication. And we'll use the same standard there. So I'm not married and I've not lost my purity. Well, using the same standard the Lord did with adultery, if you're looking at something and thinking perverted thoughts, you're committing fornication. Uncleanness. Uncleanness. It's filthiness. Being involved in wicked things. They're not spoken of in public. Lasciviousness is a step onto that. It's doing those wicked things, and you're shameless about it. In other words, you'll be involved in these things and you're glad to talk about it. Idolatry, putting anything ahead of God. Which, by the way, if you haven't read your Bible in a week, you have an idolatrous heart. If you skip church every chance you get, you have an idolatrous heart. Because you're putting something ahead of God. Witchcraft, be careful this time of the year. I just read in my devotions, Exodus chapter number 21, that a witch is not permitted to live. That's what the Lord said. That was the Old Testament and how they should be so against witchcraft. So I just throw this out there. No Christian should have a witch in their front yard this time of year. Amen. Witchcraft, the movies you watch, the things you involve yourself in, the books you read, hatred. You sit there and you say, I hate so-and-so, you're in the flesh. Right. And it shouldn't be part of our lives. Variance means you love to argue. You love to argue. Always wanting to fight. Emulations, you'll defend the wrong things with zeal. Wrath, you lose your temper all the time. Strife, seditions, that's causing divisions. Heresies, going to promote false doctrine. You're not a peculiar people. Envying, murders. If you hate someone and wish them ill, the Lord said you've committed murder in your heart. Drunkenness. I like this next word. Revelings. You know what revelings means? Right, catch this, ready? This will bust the bubble of some, you know, Christian people that's out there in the world today. Revelings means half-drunken parties. That's for all those who think, well, I'm not drunk. That's revelings. It's drinking to where you think you can handle it. Look it up. Look up the definition. It means half-drunken. Amen.
Yes.
And such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. If that's your life, don't fool yourself that you're walking and serving the Lord.
Right.
No, you're not. You're serving your flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I point this out. I really just saw this for the other day. All these things about walking in the Spirit is things I'm doing for me.
Yeah.
But when you're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, in the flesh is all about me. In the Spirit, it's all about how you're treating other people.
Yeah.
With long-suffering and love and joy and peace, gentleness and goodness. Say, preacher, not changing. I hope you do. But if you're setting your ways and you say, I'm never changing, I like these things, then what are you doing here? What are you doing here? We're supposed to be a peculiar people. I'm not talking about those who are not saved. Man, keep learning. Learn about the Lord. He'll change your life. I'm not talking about those who have not been saved long. We all are growing. I just read this morning in my devotions in Exodus how the Lord said, when you enter the promised land, I just found this interesting this morning. He said, as you enter, I'm not going to destroy all the enemies. He said, otherwise the land would be filled with wild beasts and overgrown. He said, but I will remove them one by one. And I thought, you know what? That's how God is, right? We grow. And God, as we grow, God removes strongholds out of our life that the devil had and replaces it with good. And as we grow, we get more and more of a victorious life. Yeah. It isn't like when you get saved, all of a sudden, everything we ever battled with is gone. It's a matter of faith and growing in the Lord. Yeah. Look over in Ephesians. Well, keep reading. This is, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. In other words, if you belong to God, you're going to get away from these things. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say you were lost. And the Bible backs this up right here. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. So if you live in the Spirit, if you're saved, then you ought to walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, just a page over. I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, I was lost, I was spiritually dead, but the day I got saved, God made me alive. Amen? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. We all used to walk in our flesh. Yes. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Yes. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
Good works. You were saved to live a holy life. God ordained this. These good works do not save you. They are a fruit of your salvation. He ordained them that we should walk in them. Turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I'm trying not to say a whole lot. I'm just reading the scriptures because if you got to argue, you got to take it up with God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse number 1, says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Passage of Scripture says that the preacher needs to preach the word. There's a time sometimes for reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. And everything should be done with long-suffering and with doctrine. Know its truth. But understand, Paul says, that there's coming a day, and I believe we're there, when people won't want to hear truth. They won't want to be rebuked according to the word of God. They will not want to be exhorted to do right according to the word of God, but they will rather, so they can fulfill their lust, find some other teacher who will tell them that they're okay. We have it.
Yeah.
I know one guy that works on a staff at a quote-unquote church out in California who went out and bought a bunch of people a round of whiskey this week, which is living in the flesh. That's people's lust. I've been told quite a few times since I've been a pastor now for, 14 years, more than my two hands can count. Pastor, hardly any other pastors out there agree with you on this. And to that I say, thank you. Because the Bible said that there's going to be a world full of people that can find whoever they want, and you still can. And how much sleep I've lost over people saying that, when I know what I've said is from this book.
Right. Glory to God.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes.
In Titus chapter number 3, another page over, Titus chapter 3. And in verse number 3. Titus chapter 3, verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. It says living in malice. We were disobedient, we were foolish. We lived to whatever pleased us. Living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. None of us are excluded from that. We've all been there.
Yes.
But, verse number 4.
Yeah.
After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Maintain what? Good works. These things are good and profitable. Not for you. It's not earning you anything special. These things are good and profitable unto men. Because people, we ought to be a peculiar people so that a lost world sees we're a peculiar people. So they might come and meet the same God that we've met. If you sit there on the bar stool and party with everybody else out there, you are helping condemn people to hell. If you go out there and curse just like them, if you go out there and just lay out of church just like them, I'm in church on Sunday morning for conscience, for family, for whatever the sake, but not for the right reason. I want to be a peculiar people. Not be full of lost members and lustful members, but close with this, and not be full of members who are not looking for the return of the Lord. Back in our text in Titus chapter 2, right where we left off in verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope,
yes,
and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself a what? Peculiar people.
Yes.
A peculiar people are looking for the return of Christ.
Yes.
In 1 John chapter number 3, I'll just read this to you real quick. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because it knew not Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. If you're really looking for the return of Christ, you want to live a holy life. You have a desire to be a peculiar people, because I believe He could come back today.
Yes.
The fact is this, my sister can tell you it's the truth. My parents would leave. I was 14. I was a mature person, man, at 14. My parents would leave us for 4 hours. I was kidding on that mature thing. They'd say, all right, we want the kitchen cleaned up. We'll be home at 8. Me and Crystal would sit around, do whatever. Rachel was a baby. We'd play balloon volleyball, one of the greatest indoor sports ever. We'd tear down a curtain while we're playing, many times. I lit the carpet on fire one time. It was terrible. You can ask her all about these things. But at 7:50, everything stopped. Because Dad was coming home.
Yes.
And we cleaned up everything. Because I believed that my daddy meant what he said. And there was one time I wasn't prepared when Daddy came home. And every other time we were ready. That kitchen was clean at 7:59. Because I knew he's coming home. Quit joking. I believe he's coming back.
Yes.
Quit joking to yourself. If you're just living in your lust, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. I'm going to stay home and watch the Bengals play tonight. Well, then you don't believe he's coming back. I'm going to go home today and, you know, curse, watch filth. I'm going to go home and try to split this church apart. I'm going to go home and get half drunk and you don't believe it. So I do too. No, you don't. The Bible says you don't. God's true. You're not.
That's right.
He that hath this hope purifieth himself. I'm not saying you're lost, but I am saying you're walking in your flesh. So I don't like that you said that. Well, the Lord said that that would happen. That's why he said, let no man despise thee. I didn't want to preach it this morning. I asked Thursday night for you to pray, those that were here, because I knew what God laid on my heart. I didn't want to preach it this morning. I didn't look forward to it. I was up at 4:30 this morning, not because I was excited about preaching this message. And I was praying at 5 this morning, not because I like ruffling feathers, but I preached it because I love you. And if you leave and you go on your merry way, I at least want to stand. I will not give an account for what you do. But I will give an account for what I told you. And I told you the truth today. I told you the truth. I've watched in my 43 years of church life a lot of churches that ceased being peculiar. And I don't want to follow that. So I will fight for it. Because that's what God wants.